Good evening, everyone. Welcome to Influence Unplugged. I am your host, Lindsay Watson, and I'm super excited to introduce our guest today, the one and only Kumari Gafoor Davis. Kumari, thank you so much for joining us tonight.
Thank you so much for having me, Lindsay.
So, you know, you and I think we met a few years ago, and I like to use this term in community. There's so many different ways to meet folks here, but in community, there seems to be a central theme. And your career and what you've done in this community has most certainly been diverse and has evolved. And so this is Influence Unplugged. So we really want to talk about Kumari the person, but I'd be remiss to not start off with who you are and what you're doing now for the Lehigh Valley. So why don't we, if you don't mind, start just talking a little bit about what you're doing now professionally, and then we'll dive into a bit about your journey.
Currently, I still do consulting in the community, where I for Optimistic Expectations, where we work with organizations, companies, as well as nonprofits who are trying to be more equitable and influential in the community in terms of making sure they're more diverse, making sure that they're not doing harm. So I'm still doing that work, as well as teaching at LTRIC, where I've been for now a couple years. I'm doing some work at Muhlenberg and their DEI program. And I'm also working for the mayor of Allentown as the people and culture specialist.
Let's start from the top. So you itemized things for us. Thank you. If you were to give yourself two or three sentences to describe who you are and what you do for this community, what would that be? What would that pitch be?
I am definitely a person who is a connector. I am a person who loves to love on people, and I love to uplift others. That's pretty much what I do.
I love it because you do so much. It's good sometimes to have those statements where this is who I am, right? Because what you do can change. It can evolve as it has. And I appreciate your kind of breaking down what you do. I want to highlight a few things. So one, what is your title right now for the city of Allentown?
People and culture specialist.
And so this is the first ever role of its kind in the history of the city, correct?
That particular title is, they have had a DEI coordinator in the past, but as that role is evolving and trying to make sure that the city is being more culturally aware for the citizens that are in the community, as well as the folks who work within the organization, my role has evolved.
That's beautiful. I love the way that you describe that because we truly are here to support not just corporate, but our community, right? We want to make that impact. And especially as African-American folks in community and in leadership, we are constantly thinking about how are we supporting and serving our community. Would you agree?
Absolutely.
Let's talk a little bit about you because no one wakes up and signs up for this because they think it's a fun and easy job. I mean, come on.
You're absolutely right about that.
So can you walk us through your journey into public service? What experiences and influences led you to really have a career in this space?
Well, I was born and raised in New Jersey. I have been in the Lehigh Valley since 2014. We moved here to continue raising our now 17-year-old, who was 6 at the time when we moved here. And I've gotten to know, gotten to love, gotten to engage, gotten to really meet some wonderful people while I've been here. My journey in New Jersey started in nonprofit. I've always worked in nonprofit. I've always worked in spaces where I was either a director or a direct service worker or an executive director. Those are the spaces that I came from in New Jersey. So moving to Lehigh Valley was definitely different, right? But at the same time, I've met some phenomenal people while I've been here. Still work in equity. I still work in, you know, the spaces of making sure that people feel loved on. I still work in spaces of nonprofit. I enjoy working with community to build community so that we have a strong foundation. And I've been doing that since I've been here as well.
Were there any experiences, you know, early on that caused you to say, all right, nonprofit is the path for me?
Not at all. Not at all. I told my mother when I was maybe in high school that I think I want to be a psychiatrist because I love people. I've always loved people. I think I was one of those people that had like psychiatrists on their forehead at 5 years old. I've told this story before where I was that kid that was at their kindergarten teacher's house. listening to all her stories, listening to all of her problems. And I'll be sitting there at 5 years old, just listening to this woman. And my mother would be like, "What are you up there doing?" I'm like, "She's telling me her secrets." Right? So, and my mother would laugh and say, "She's a grown woman." What? But at the same time, I just think that it always was something that was in me, just to listen, to be there, to be support. And as I've gotten older, to this day, I can go into an elevator and say, "How are you doing?" And 20 minutes later, somebody's still telling me. So I just feel like I've just been given that gift. So I've always loved on others and community. And as my career has evolved, I've just continued to be in spaces that way. It's kind of like how I it also helps me love on me,
Yeah.
because I love on others. So I don't think I've ever was pushed towards it. When I came out of graduate school, I went to Columbia for my MSW. And when I came out of graduate school, it just kind of ended up going into nonprofit space. I ended up going into Department of Corrections space in New Jersey. That's where I started my career. And I've always just believed that people are not throwaways, and believe that people can be loved on and can be better if they want to. And I just think that that's always just been what I've done.
That is amazing. There are a couple of things that I got from that that were new to me, which this is why I love this show and giving us space to share why we do what we do, why we wake up every day and say, I'm going to do this, right? Especially the things that are unpopular or really, really tough. When times get tough, and they do, what keeps you grounded and connected to your purpose? You just clearly laid out your why and the heart. But when times do get tough, what keeps you grounded and connected?
My community, for sure. Just being in spaces like with people like you, with people like Marcy, with Miss Camilla Green, Phyllis Alexander, being around folks like Julie Thomas's, who just check in on me just to say, "How are you doing?" Being able to feel loved on by community, Dr. Batts, Pastor Gregory, Pastor Phil, and being able to know that I can depend on them. Like, if something happens, they're going to check in. I'm going to hear Bats tell me self-care is revolutionary. Take care of yourself. When things get tough, and things always get tough, things are always, up in the air. And when you work in spaces that I work in, especially when you're talking about culture, when you're talking about equity, when you're talking about loving on others and respecting people as humans, there is a lot of tumultuous times, right? So I definitely try to stay connected to my community and talking it out, so that I don't feel like I'm alone.
This is great because, especially in our community, the African American community, we've had no choice but to depend on ourselves for generations, hundreds of years, especially being here in this country. So, community for us, I think, sometimes comes a little bit easier when you don't have a choice. I rarely hear our community saying that we're self-made. We usually say we stand on shoulders. We honor those who have come before us and acknowledge that there are doors we can walk through that we could not have. Either legally or from a societal perspective, had the opportunity to walk through in generations previous. For those who maybe have come from a larger area, big city, and are moving now to this beautiful community, and growing in diversity and a whole other bunch of ways, what maybe two or three suggestions would you have to share with someone who looks like you and me? To build community here, what would you want them to do? What skips would you want them to step? Where would you want them to go so that they could feel as though they belong and are welcomed and have their own system of support?
What I do like about the Lehigh Valley is that when new people move into the valley, they'll end up somehow meeting someone else who looks like them, and that person will start to share them with us, right? I remember when I first moved here and I was like, "Where is the tribe?" Right? I'm like, "Where is everybody?" And it took me a few years to start meeting people. And the first person that I met was Bart Bailey. And he met with me. We met for tea or a shake or a smoothie or something, and we ended up talking about what we do, and to this day, Bart and I still engage each other. He'll tell me about some work, I'll tell him about something that's going on. So I think that as we come here, folks will attach themselves to you and say, "Hey, let me introduce you to the community." That's something that I do love about us. And I've seen it over and over and over again. I've seen superintendents who are wrapped in white skin say, "Hey, this person's here and they're new. I wanted to connect them to you so that you can connect them to the community." You know what I mean? So I've seen that happen where even persons wrapped in white skin know that we do have a community here and they want to make sure that persons of color are connected. So I like the fact that we do that. I love the fact that, we'll allow breakfast, we'll have lunch, we'll have, dinner, we'll have drinks, and we'll allow that space for ourselves. And I continue to see it happen over and over and over again. So I would say definitely connect yourself to someone because they know everybody. It's a very small community of African Americans here. So,
Yeah.
there's only like 6% of us, 4% of us. So it's very small. So, and I mean, and usually when you meet one person, you meet usually can meet a whole bunch of others. But I would say also just make sure that you build your tribe. Build on, making sure that you're connected, talking to folks, because you can feel siloed here. It's very easy to feel siloed here. I've known folks that have moved here that don't connect with community, and they sometimes end up connecting to their community outside of here so that they continue to have a community. But there is definitely community here. So I would say don't feel siloed. And I would also say make sure that you request your needs, because it's very easy here to sometimes be stifled or people tell you, "Oh, that's just the way that it is." It's not. People are still human. People can still change and evolve. And when people get harmed here, we all feel it. So I think it's important if you are struggling to reach out because unfortunately, sometimes the powers that be will tell you, "No, you should just be quiet and just keep your mouth shut and not say anything. And this is just the way that it is here." No, that's not true. There are other parts of the world that work very differently than we do in the valley.
Talking about being a minority of any sort, I love what you said, those three suggestions you had about finding one person who potentially knows everybody, right? Not being siloed, and then also expressing what your needs are. And everyone has different needs, but being able to say, I am new here, I have a family, or I don't, depending on, the situation, I'm looking to get involved. I want to serve. I'm looking to build friends. I have a tribe outside, but I'm looking for a tribe here. All of those things are critical and key. And I will say, when I first moved here, I was just working. I was siloed for about 6 years. Didn't know anybody outside of our clients. And it took its toll, right? I didn't have that community. And so I had to start building it. And so I appreciate you sharing the sequence of advice because I think anyone listening can take that. Whether they are African American or in any community, and really use those steps and those suggestions to build their community. And you're absolutely right, we're out there, but that middle part, being siloed, is probably one of the main reasons as to why I know people who still don't know other people who don't know other people, because it can be so easy just to work, go home, especially if you're not from here, go back and see your family, and before you know it, you're living here, but not actually really able to take advantage of everything this community has to offer. So I want to see that change in 2025. I really, really do. And so I thank you for talking about that. So
I
let's
know
move.
people that live that work in New Jersey still and still don't connect here because they don't even work here. They just live here. Meaning, back in the day, my mother used to say, you connect to a church, right? I mean, that's also a great way to meet people.
It is. You connect to a church, you join a volunteer organization where there's some consistency with the people you're around. The Chamber of Commerce has a lot of councils and committees. There's so much here, but sometimes to get started can be so daunting. So, what I want everyone who's listening is to really remember those three things and think about how you can either build your community or, if you have one, help someone else to build their community if you see someone struggling. Because at the end of the day, when times get tough, when you just need someone to be there and be present and to listen and to understand in the skin you're in, there's nothing like having community. We are in a generation where a lot of us are firsts. We're serving as firsts, right? Whether it's on boards, you are the first in your titled role. There may have been a predecessor, but the job description and what you're doing has evolved to you are the first, right? For the City of Allentown to be executing on this particular role. And there are so many firsts. So I think that what you've said is important, and it really starts with us having those honest conversations and then deciding, all right, now what are we going to do?
And I love the fact that we're able to have those conversations, like even Lucinda, who was in the role before me, she's been very honest with me about, what she went through and how she's billed at, in her first person in that role because
Yeah.
she was the first. So I'm appreciative of being able to stand on those shoulders and continue it going and as it evolves. But I agree, there are a lot of firsts here, which is still crazy. There's firsts in 2025, right?
You know what I've come to accept is we think it's crazy, but it's often because we have either lived or come from very large metropolitan areas. And so it can be easy to compare. I myself am from a very small town, so nothing is crazy to me. I'm actually impressed with the pace, but I come from a place that is smaller and a little more concentrated. But then I lived in New York City, right, for 15 years. So I understand where if you look a certain way, you're like, what's going on? But then you look another way, it's like, oh, okay, this isn't so bad. But it really depends, I think, on us being communicative, deciding who we want to be as a community and going out there and executing on those goals, regardless of where we live. We just happen to be in the Lehigh Valley, one of the fastest growing regions in the country, where all eyes are on us from an economic
Absolutely.
standpoint.
And the numbers are growing here, right?
The
So
numbers are
we're ahead of
in.
the national average.
And our numbers as Black community leaders is growing. And so having the space to have the conversations and hopefully to help folks who come in to understand what this community is now, where it's going, hopefully that will help conversations to accelerate, right?
Agree. Yes.
Thank you so much for your time. Thank you for being a part of Influence Unplugged. I think that there were a lot of gems dropped in tonight's conversation that hopefully anyone listening can take note of and begin to act on. And of course, all of our listeners, if you meet Mia Kumari, we are extroverts. We will talk to you and have a conversation.
We will.
Well, come on up and say hi. And chances are we probably know somebody who you probably need to connect with. So it really just starts with just making that first step.
Absolutely. Don't be afraid.
Yes, don't be afraid. We won't fight. Okay, well, thank you so much. And everyone, thank you again for joining us as Influence Unplugged. I am your host, Lindsay Watson, and we will be back again real soon.